We love you, and we thank you for just the opportunity, God, the opportunity to come and talk about getting to know you better and to make you known. Lord, I pray that you'd be glorified through this podcast, Lord, and that it would reach just unto the nations of the earth, Lord, that there would just be sweet multiplication that's unto your kingdom through this, Lord. And we ask that you'd silence the voice of the world, the flesh, and the devil in this time, God, and that we would hear your voice in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome you, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I would say it's not often that a mother-in-law gets to do what I'm about to do. But today, as we continue in our Meet with God, Make Him Known series, I get to interview my very own son-in-law. I'm going to cue the intro, and we'll be right back so you can listen in on this conversation. Discipleship starts with a conversation. Yes, God's Word teaches every Christ follower that we're the ones who can lead others God has entrusted to us into these discipleship conversations. However, just as often, other people lead us into these conversations by discipling us and giving us their godly examples to follow. That's what this series of special episodes is about. Hi, my name is Tasha Williams. I'm the founder of the Family Disciple Me Ministry, and in these interview episodes, I get the privilege of talking with some amazing godly people about how they personally meet with God and then make Him known through their lives. I believe we're all going to be encouraged, inspired, and challenged through this. So let's get this conversation started. What does it look like to meet with God and make Him known as a young adult? Well, today I have somebody really special with me here in the studio. My husband and I call him our son-in-love. And as I have gotten to know this amazing young man, I have said about him many times that he has more integrity in his little finger than most people have in their whole bodies. Oh. And that is so true. I want to welcome my son in love, Chris Minicucci. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot. I'm glad to be here. This is exciting.
I'm glad you're here. Yeah. I'm glad you're a part of our family. Yeah. And wow. I am so glad that here, it's Thanksgiving holiday as we're here in the studio, and we just have this little pocket of time to come in, and I'm excited for our listeners to get to hear about your story.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to share.
Chris, let's start with your background of faith. How did you come to be a believer in Jesus?
Yeah, well, I grew up in a Catholic family, so I'd always known about Jesus and had known the message of the gospel, but actually having access to relationship with Jesus is something that has been newer to me in the last 10 years. So I ended up going to an Assemblies of God high school for high school. I switched over my sophomore year and actually was led to faith by my basketball coach, who actually discipled me for a couple of years and was able to pour into my life. And so it was when I was about 15 or 16 that I gave my life to the Lord and started following Him.
So you came to faith in Jesus. You were discipled by your basketball coach. What happened from there?
Yeah, from there, there was a little bit of time where I wasn't walking as radically with Jesus as I would like to. So that was probably my senior year and freshman year of college. And those were just years of, honestly, rebellion. And that took me through a season of just discipline with the Lord, which was very kind of Him. In His kindness, He disciplined me and showed me that there was a better path that He had for me, and that there was calling and destiny on my life and just sweet relationship that He had with me. So that was the beginning of my sophomore year of college, where I really did come back to the Lord in a way where I was meeting with Him and enjoying relationship with Him, and then making Him known to others.
Amen. Yeah. Somewhere along the way, you met my daughter, Anastasia.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. So I met Anastasia. I met Stosh in class. So I had changed my major to Christian studies, had felt the calling on the Lord to church plant, and I wanted to put myself in a position to be able to have an education for that. So I met her in classes together. And so we knew each other for a couple of years and were kind of friends and everything like that. And it wasn't until we started leading together at church that we started to like each other. And then from there, took her on a couple of dates and fell in love and got engaged shortly shortly thereafter and then married. So, yeah.
We love having you a part of the family. And one way that Chris has just fit in with us from the very beginning is that my husband, Kelly, Anastasia, we love to get up early and spend time meeting with God. And from the very beginning, when Chris was first with us, he does the same thing. We get up early, we're sitting there, we've got a cup of coffee in one hand and Bible in the other. And Chris, that's been you from the start, as long as I've known you. We love that. We love having you do that with us. What does it look like on a regular basis for you as a 26-year-old man to meet with God in your personal life?
Yeah, so I think for me personally, I don't trust myself further than I can throw a stick if I don't meet with God. So some people, I think, can go a couple days at a time or can meet with God as they go about their day. And for me personally, I think that there's something really valuable about meeting with God in the morning. And so for me, what that usually looks like is I start by getting up and making myself some coffee as well as some for Stosh so that as soon as she wakes up, she has a fresh pot of coffee. And then I sit down on our couch with just a Bible and a journal and pen in hand. And I start to just listen to the Lord, start to listen to his voice is usually how I start off and not coming as trying to set the agenda myself, but really letting the Holy Spirit set the agenda. So that would be how it starts.
That's how it starts. How long do you sit in that place just listening before you even open the word and begin the next steps?
Yeah. So I usually wait until I have him tell me where he wants me to turn to in the word. And so usually, more often than not, that's a psalm or a passage in Isaiah or something that really just stirs my heart in places where I've really gone deep with the Lord, places where I have history with him in scripture. And then I start to listen to him and what he's trying to speak to me through his word. I thank him for it. So really wanting to enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise. And so I'll start to thank him based on what his word is saying. And then from there, I might start to pray it out or I might start to listen to what he wants to tell me specifically based on whatever passage I'm reading. So it's never really a formula or a set plan, but it really is just set by the Holy Spirit. And I think for me, though, there are three elements that normally of what it looks like, and that's the word, worship, and prayer. And so that could go in whatever order, but usually it's a lot of prayer for me personally.
Yeah. When you're visiting us, when we're around you or when we're visiting you guys, one thing I have noticed is that you go running just about every day. So is there a sense that your time meeting with God there on the couch segues into even your meeting with him as you're running? What does that look like in your life?
Yeah, so it definitely does. Like even this morning, I went for a run and that was really more my time of intercession and getting to just pray on behalf of others or pray of what I feel like God wants to do in my own life. So usually running's more of a time of intercession or it's a time where I might listen to a podcast or a sermon that then complements whatever I was reading today or whatever God was talking to me about today. So that's what's really cool is I think when you put yourself in a position where you're longing to hear his voice and you're giving him a blank page, is he'll use many means of ways to speak to you.
Yeah. Amen. Well, Chris is a college pastor at his church, Antioch Phoenix. Anastasia, my daughter, his wife, is also a college pastor there. It's a ministry that they do together, but they are impacting literally hundreds of people, I believe. Mm-hmm. Chris, would you tell us how you not just meet with God, but now tell us how you make him known. And I know there's so many aspects to that, but tell us about your ministry. Tell us about how you disciple others, how you share Christ.
So I get to be a part of a campus ministry through Antioch Church, and we focus specifically on Grand Canyon University. And so Grand Canyon University is the largest private Christian university in the nation. And really, it's fertile soil. It's fertile soil for the gospel, and not just for the gospel, but to raise up laborers in the harvest. So that's kind of the eyes that I see Grand Canyon through, and kind of the place where I get to partner with the Spirit of God is to really raise and train up, to really equip the saints for the works of ministry as a college pastor there. there. And so the way that our college ministry fleshes itself out is we have a Thursday large gathering where it would be like a youth group service where there's a message, there's passionate worship, and then a time of response. I mean, just a place for everybody to gather together. But really the day in and day out is the heartbeat of it would be through life group and through discipleship. And so our life groups, we have about five of them consisting from anywhere to 10 to 20 people. And life groups really are themselves an avenue for discipleship. So in the life groups, we have a time of worship where we invite the presence of God to come. And then we have a time where we get into the word, and we always tell our life group leaders, and we cast vision for the life group, for all the members as well, as if we are going to open up the word of God, we are going to put it into practice. Coming from the passage in Luke 6, or at the end of the Sermon on the Mount of the wise and the foolish builders, of those who will have a solid foundation when the storms of life come are those who put the words of Jesus into practice. So that's really how we try to model our life groups, is a community that comes together and that invites the presence of God, that's centered around that mission of seeking him and making him known, and also obedient followers of Jesus who are putting his words into practice. And then for discipleship would be something that we ourselves, Anastasia and I, disciple a lot of the young men and young women in our group, and then we train them to disciple others. And so we'll meet with them on campus for about an hour and a half, and it might be over coffee or lunch or something like that. And really what we have is a model that we call Heart, Word, Go. And so we get to know their heart, and we ask them questions about relationship. So relationship with God, how is time with God going? What is that looking like? How is relationship with others going? And then how is your heart? How are you doing? And then from there, we'll get into a passage of scripture. So maybe that's something that we've prayed about ahead of time, and we're coming into knowing that, okay, this is what the Lord wants us to talk about today. Or it's something that comes up that there's a felt need that they might have. And then from there, we'll do this, what we call, give it a go. So not about perfection, right? When in, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, when Jesus tells us to take his yoke upon us, he also says, come and learn of me, right? Not come and perform of me. So we're not about perfection, but about giving it a go, about training and about practicing and, putting his words into practice. So, The most important thing, I think, in discipleship, especially with young men and young women, is not necessarily to hold their hand through it all, but to be there with them, to help them walk through it and to put it into practice.
And you are doing that. We call Chris and Anastasia the great disciplers because they are having such a profound influence, not just on many students at the campus, but also our son, our daughter, our daughter-in-law, these precious young people that belong to us that also belong to you in relationship as well as in spiritual leadership. Chris, as we close this episode, there are so many more things that you could teach us. You're a seminary student. You're a pastor who preaches. There are so many levels. You've been a missionary multiple summers. You've spent prolonged times overseas. So many more different trails we could trace. And maybe we'll come back to those another day, another time. But for now, what encouragement would you have to the listener for how to seek him, speak him, for how to meet with God, make him known, how to have devotions and discipleship? Is there anything that God has laid on your heart that you want to share with our listeners as we close?
Yeah, I think really the most important thing is that it comes back to a place of humility and of love. Of just as I see the call of discipleship that Jesus gives to his disciples is this place of denial of self, right? He invites them to live a life where they're no longer satisfied by the things of this world and no longer living for their own selfish desires, but they're living for the sake of him and for the sake of others. And really just in spiritual formation in general, is true spiritual formation, true discipleship to Jesus isn't necessarily unto ourselves. It isn't this introspective thing, but it's more so something where the Spirit of God is transforming our hearts for the sake of him and for the sake of others. And of course, we benefit from that because that life is the true life where we experience rest for our souls that Jesus talks about. But that's also the life that he woos us into. So it has to start from this place of knowing that you are outrageously loved by God. And then from that place, he invites you to die to yourself. And I know that's strong language, but that's the true life that he calls us into. So I think more than anything, it really is a heart posture of saying, hey, I'm not in it for myself, but I'm in it for him, and I'm in it for them, for the sake of making him known.
Amen. Normally, as I close an episode, I pray the blessing, but today in this particular episode, Chris, I want to ask you to pray a sending prayer over our listeners as we close.
Oh, thank you. I'm honored. All right. Well, we thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that apart from you, Jesus, we can do nothing. And so we just ask that our lives would be ones where we're tethered to you, Lord, that we truly wouldn't live for ourselves, but that we would live for the sake of others and for the sake of making you known. So we just ask that you would come and empower our lives, Lord. Our prayer isn't that you would just come and help us, but our prayer is that you would come and take over. So we just ask that you would come and take over, God.
Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you, friend, as you meet with him and then make him known. Go with God. Until next time.